the concept of being selfish, unfortunately, exists so much today. We totally ignore the fact of it's something that's dead against God. But God warned us of this time, and we know He's talking about believers. And what makes it so terrible is because it's believers that are doing it. That's why he warned of a terrible time when people would let self rule. In our Christianity, we don't go out of our way to help really look out for others. I mean, just to give you an example, and it still blows my mind. I still can't grasp this, but if you notice in the Old Testament, and especially in two occasions, one time was done in I think in Judges, and the other time was done during Sodom and Gomorrah, in which they would offer like their daughters or something like that for these people, and not to harm this visitor. And that was one of the biggest honors, is to make sure you take care of and look out for and protect your visitors. Now you're like, but give up your family? It's still, that's hard to grasp. But the whole part of it is that whole looking out means selfless. It's when we remove self. God warned also this selfishness is the thing that's why us understanding the word is so bad. We got a lot of people that read and say they know the word, or they'll say they heard the word, and they'll say, "Yep, I get it," or they preach the word. And if you were to sit down and really talk to them, what you're getting is their version of it, because they didn't get the word. They got their desire. Remember, it says, "Oh, gather great teachers, say what their itching ears want to hear." So, we don't really get the gist of what the Bible's telling us. But what's so powerful about the word is the word gives us life. It describes life to us. If I'm not going in there just to get the right answer, I'm going to go in there looking for what I want to hear. And you'll get that. And this is what a lot of people have. They're walking around doing stuff. And even though it's not what he says, you got to do what he says. But our selfishness keeps us blind and keeps us locked in. Selfishness has always been a characteristic of the world. And that's why he used Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. And remember, he said they were arrogant, that they were overfed, that they were unconcerned, did not help the poor and needy. I remember I gave the example, did not help the poor and needy. Sometimes we'll take a subject matter, or we'll take a person by themselves, or we'll do something in our lives to make us feel better. But the poor and needy is a group in which we understand we are going out of our way to help them because they're in a position, not look down on them, because they were also haughty in that sense in which they look down on people as if, well, you must be poor because of something you did. Anybody who has that point of view, without proof, you really got to answer to God for that. I mean, really, that is something we have no right to do. But you got many that do that, that think people are in a bad position. They are, and you're in a good position that you are because of something you great you did and bad they did. Bible doesn't support that, and that is a very selfish way of thinking. Self-seeking is a product of the flesh. Remember, it's just the act of the flesh are obvious, and that selfishness comes in so many different forms, debauchery and selfish ambition, and that just falls into what he warns us about. And selfishness is the dangerous quality that distorts a man's life, and that's why the Bible made clear that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And today we still keep allowing what we have to define us. And that's why I said people can buy the same product of something and you stick somebody's name or some emblem on it, and it just raises $2,000 or $3,000, and people buy it, or what I drive or where I live and so on and so forth, because it does give you that. That shouldn't be our message. Now, am I saying don't buy it? No, you do what you want in those senses, but recognize what you're doing. Because remember, the only badge we should wear, or that we are advertising, is the light. You know what I mean? But don't let that be your define. Don't let that be your beauty. And that's so that self, but that selfishness will make you do things like that and justify them without realizing how dangerous they could be. So, continuing on, we have to recognize that there is an extreme danger with those who live to please self. And he says, and I know I read this, I want to read it again to make sure we grasp this, where he says, "Now listen, you rich people." And once again, especially here in our country, we don't know nothing but rich. Even some of our poor are more rich than what's called poor. You know what I mean? It's just we have more here, and we've gotten so relaxed with it, and we want more. And why does he start off with weeping? Well, because of the misery that is coming upon you. He's giving this warning and letting you know, when I'm defined by my riches, I'm in trouble. Why? Because your wealth has rotted, Moths have eaten your clothes, and your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you. He's not going to get the people that come to heaven with a net worth of $1 billion without saying, what the heck are you doing with that $1 billion when there's a bunch of people out there, a bunch of things out there that you could do? Now, once again, it's not a shaming thing. It's a responsibility thing. The ones he gives wealth to, there's a responsibility with it. The ones he doesn't give wealth to, there's a responsibility in living without it and understanding that. And then there's a balance. There's a sharing that we're supposed to do, and a sharing not with the mindset of, hey, you remember what I did and look at what I'm doing for you, but with the understanding of, oh, no, this is for me to allow God. Do you understand that? And it, in fact, I don't even want them to see me. He broke it down to where he says, your wealth has rotted, moths have eaten your clothes, gold and silver are corroded, their corrosion will testify against you. Their corrosion will testify. That's what I'm saying. You come in there and I have a ton of stuff. And what was you saving it for? You never know. So you mean all these people needed help. Now, as a Christian, I have to understand what that means of needed help. Because then you allow the money to be your comfort. You allow your talent to be your comfort. You allow your whatever you have an abundance of to be your comfort. And that's what's going to testify against you. Because God is like, wait, I'm your comfort. I'm your provider. So then why were you treating the money as your comfort? Now, he's not telling you to be foolish with it. He's telling you, follow me and you'll know the right way of how to do it. He says, and eat your flesh like fire. He says, you have, watch this, hoarded wealth in the last days. One of the worst things that is happening right now, and this is where he says, listen, you rich people weeping well. There are people, not just ones who own businesses, but even when we go out and we buy stuff, we want $1 million work for $100. Or maybe even $10. You understand that? We go to a restaurant and we want the finest food tasting whatever, and we want to give them McDonald's money. It's the thing about it is when he says you have hoarded wealth in the last days, I think it's coming to show that people are working. People need to work. And Christians, one of the biggest things Christians should push for is people getting paid. He says, look, in verse 4, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your field are crying against you. Now, even though he's going to talk about them next, what's crying against you? What you didn't pay them. And just because a group of people got together and said, oh, I think this is fair. Fair based on what? A lot of our fairness today is very awkwardly not. Do you understand that? This is what God is saying. He's saying, that's what's going to cry against you. He's going to say, seriously, would you live off of that? He goes on to say, the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. And he says, you have lived on earth in luxury. What is luxury? In which I'm living in my wealth. Now, nothing wrong with enjoying. The Bible, this is 1 Timothy about enjoying, but enjoyment doesn't mean it becomes a lifestyle. There's a difference. You can enjoy, but it's not a lifestyle. And that's why he says you have fattened yourself up for the day of slaughter. This selfishness right here is so common that it's hard for us to stomach to even read that. Ministers don't preach that. You know what I mean? It's hard for us to stomach because we look at it and we're just like, oh. What the heck am I supposed to do? And it's disturbing because we all actually strive to become that. We want to have enough money to feel comfortable, to feel well off, in which we have opportunities to provide. And it's not just in you giving money to people here and there and feeling good about yourself. I'm talking about in what you do in restaurants, in which I remember when the whole pandemic was happening, first thing Christians should have been doing is put money into the economy. Somehow, because there are people that are like, I don't have no money put away. And immediately you should have said, okay, what can I do to buy more, to do this, to help them? But we don't. So you understand that a selfish person is also an unfriendly person. Here's that definition thing again. If I distort and use the world's version of friendly or unfriendly, this won't make sense. But in Proverbs 18:1, it says an unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgments. You catch that? So here's the key. Because of my wealth, I'm truly unfriendly, even though I think I'm the most nice and friendly person. I'm doing everything just right. And my judgment is warped. I think I'm good. I'll tell y'all, no, I'm fine. No, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. While my selfishness gets in the way. Do you understand that? Even to ask the question of am I offending somebody is what you almost should get in the practice of doing all the time, then to go, no, I'm doing it. Because a lot of times when I think I'm doing it with the measure of my selfishness. That's dangerous. That should scare you. It should scare me. That's a reverent fear, not a timid fear. We're all supposed to have a reverent fear of, am I really living in the image of God, or am I a selfish, unfriendly person? In fact, this type of unfriendly person that the Bible defines actually has a lot more friends that are not friends, because we don't understand what that is. Amen? So we have to be careful what you accept from a greedy person. This verse really breaks it down of understanding. So then I have to recognize when somebody is a selfish person, because look at what he says here in Proverbs 23, 6 through 8. It says, do not eat the food of a stingy man. Then it explains why. It says, do not crave his delicacies. Do not crave the things that he wants to show off to you. And this is why, one, this is where judgment works. You have to understand, and God gives us the trait of them. Know what a stingy person is. Don't make you understand, you know, look at what I did for you. Don't make you feel bad. It says, do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about cost. Do you understand that? Eat and drink, he said. So on the outside, he's saying, no, enjoy yourself. He says to you, but his heart is not with you. In other words, he's saying, I can't believe he's eating all my food. He says, you will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliment. So he could care less what you're saying, because you're feeding into his selfishness. Now, some may say, well, he told me to eat, and if that's his problem, if he's stingy. But there's a reason why God is stressing this fact of, no, I don't want you to participate in that. I'm very careful on that, because you have a lot more people that are and will respond in a, after all I've done for you, and look at what I did for you, and they'll remind you of what they've done for you, and they won't let you. Well, it'll come up one way or the other. You understand that? In a sense, I'm not talking about on an agreement. I'm talking about when a sharing or whatever that's happening. This is common once again today. Now, a big reason why it's common, because the other reverse of it, you do have people that take advantage. You have some people who say you have a little bit, no, you eat it all. You know what I mean? But our mindset has to understand we got to balance this and not let that drive us. We have to make sure that's not something that's killing us in that sense. So when he's saying, I have to recognize, you know, who a stingy man is, but I also have to recognize if that's me. Not from you defining it, but from me defining it. You understand? Not me defining it being defined by God. Yeah. If I define it, I'm wrong. You define it, you're wrong also. So also, self-purpose is one of the characteristics to the path of evil. James 3, 14 through 16, it says, but if you harbor, and he gives these two things, bitter envy, selfish ambition. Both of those translations are very well done. Because not just envy, but bitter envy. Because what is envy? Envy is when I'm driven by what you have. Okay? Different than jealousy. Jealousy is when I'm driven when you have something of mine. You understand that? That's something that you have of mine. That's jealousy. Envy is when you have something I want. And it becomes bitter when I become angry with you. I become driven by you. It becomes, you have some of the most successful people, and their success story will be bitter envy. My goal is to have more than you. And he's saying, this is horrible. And then he gives a simple thing here, selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? When I am the purpose. That's why it's dangerous sometimes when we ask people, what are your goals? And you start hearing them, what I would like, and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with recognizing desires, but selfish ambition is when it becomes the purpose. Or a purpose. It can play small parts in your life, but my purpose and your purpose as Christians always has to be to glorify God. And you may go, I know, but see, you say, please be careful, those of you who jump and say, I know, before you think about what you're saying, because you want to stop and go, I know, but am I really doing this? This is why he tells us to question ourselves. Because a lot of times you say one thing, honor him with your mouth, but your hearts are far from him, because your actions are showing, no, you did that for you. You didn't do it for God. He goes and he says, in your hearts, and he gives two ways that we deal with it. In your hearts, do not boast about it. That's what the rich do when they go, what's my success is because I don't let nobody have more than me, and I see what you have, and I want what you have. And you read some of these people's books, and that's what you'll see. Or I make me number one. I make sure I look out for me. That's why they can have a business, make a gazillion dollars, and watch their workers get paid nothing, and think that's what success is. And we, oh man, you're so great. And we start following them and not pay people. This is the American Revolution, how it all started, underpay people so you can have an abundance. And God's like, oh yeah, we've been well. He says that. So don't deny about it. He says, or deny the truth. Some live, their actions show the bitter envy, and their actions show that they're actually living for self, but they play the, no, I'm a very giving person. They'll argue and they'll fight instead of going, wait, is that me? It says, such wisdom, to do it this way, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Did you catch that? It's saying when I either boast about it as if it's a great quality of mine, or if I act like I don't have it, when everybody can see I have it, that wisdom, whatever that thing I'm doing, does not come from God, is what he's saying. And if you notice how this is another distortion of definitions, this person's using a wisdom that's really not wisdom. Because if it doesn't come from God, it's not wisdom. That's what he said. It does not come down from heaven. In other words, not from God, but it's the way the earth thinks. We do down here. It's the way the flesh acts. And it's all devil driven. He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And that's why we're surrounded by it. And that's why the church is so invaded by it. That's why we raise our kids in it. That selfishness, these two qualities really encompass what it means to be selfish. Selfishness endangers the family, if you like it or not. Proverbs 15:27. Is a greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. Breaking this down just as a simple thing, because the overall thing covers all greed. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. If we weren't so warped on sight, we probably have in our minds what that means, and we may go, oh, I must have dodged a bullet, not realizing, no, he already gave you what you're doing. So if you think you didn't, you already did. There's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to see when we finally get with God that we messed up, that we did down here, that we thought was okay. Ways we've destroyed our kids, ways we destroyed our families, ways we destroyed other people, ways we made people fall, because we didn't listen to God. We went by sight. We went by sight. There are times when I had friends that I thought we were cool. Years later, they were told, man, when you did that, that really hurt me. And it would crush me. What? Why didn't you tell me that? Well, you would get mad at me if I said it. And they were right. The point I'm putting that is, in the same way, so I go to God's word and I just do what he tells me. That's where that whole, it's the time to do this and the time to do that. Because if I, as long as I do that and they get hurt, then they fail on account of him. Remember when Jesus said, blessed is the man that doesn't fall on the account of me. So if I follow him diligently and I understand this greed and not to have it, then whatever comes to my family, I know I didn't bring it. However, if I define greed myself, I think I'm okay. If I let a lot of people kind of puff me up and make me feel good about my greed and stuff like that, I'm hurting my family. He says, he who hates bribes will live. And hate is a choice just like love. It's not something that you feel. And when he talks about bribes here, he's talking about when I can up the ante to change your mind. And which you're like, no, my mind was set because of God. So there's nothing you could give me to make me not. You understand that? And this is what that's talking about. But that self can make us, any man could be bought. I can't remember who said that. Somebody made that comment. I can't remember that one, but I know somebody made that, and he's right. In a sense, that's why we live through God. Through God, if God said it, that settles it. But do we all live through God? Selfishness causes conflicts. Proverbs 28:25. A greedy man stirs up dissension. He didn't say, now look in both of these. It doesn't put the may or could. And you can even look at the translations. They don't have those in there. And they don't even imply that. It's saying this is what happens. So if I'm a greedy man, I'm the cause of a lot of these separations and problems out there. I'm the one who causes disruption and don't even realize it because my response was out of greed. I cause more confusion out of greed. It says, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And I bet, once again, in the prosperity ministries, most read that, think that means I'm going to be rich. And what does James 5 talk about? You know what I mean? Then they're confused because we don't understand what true prosperity is. Remember, he told the church of Smyrna, he says, you're in poverty, yet you are rich. They understood what true prosperity is. Right? And that's what we have to recognize. What is that? But if I'm greedy, once again, it's self-driven. I'm going to cause dissension and I bring evil to my family. If I can say I don't, and everybody else in my family, no, you're a great person and everything's good. I read this. I'm greedy. Nope. You understand this? And that's why I need to understand, okay, what is greedy as we're going through this? Hopefully you're getting that understanding and you're making sure this is not you. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse you of this attitude or this mentality. Selfishness causes arguments, distorts our desires and what we receive from God. Okay, so just look at the breaking it down. James 4, 1 to 3 really shows us how self and allowing self to come in really does some damage. Let's start at first. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Let's stop there first. So once again, you may have this other person that's arguing. He's an argumentative person. He likes to start trouble. So if you get into an argument with him, it's still your fault. Oh, it's his fault also. Don't get me wrong. But God is just talking about you. If you get in an argument, what he's saying, what causes these quarrels? Because we shouldn't quarrel. If they're a quarrelsome person, a Christian will know how not to get into it. There's a loving way. Nah, I'm not going to get into it. You understand that? But why do we do it? Because of my desires. I used to, like I said, ask my wife, because me and my brother used to debate like crazy. She hated it. And every once in a while, I may slip into it and I got to watch it. It's something that'll come over you, but they're nothing more than not me trying to prove God, not me trying to prove righteousness, is me trying to fight my desires. Even when your desires are correct, it's wrong when I'm driven by my desires and not from God. Think about that. Even if they're correct, if I'm correct in what I'm saying, but God told me not to quarrel, did you see how I just clashed the two? Think about that. Very powerful when you think about it. When you use God, you realize even though what I'm about to say is right, he didn't want me to say that way if it's going to cause quarrels. So don't say it. There's the way how the word works and it just puts us in the right place to do the right thing in the right way. But he's saying they come from me. They come from me. And then he goes, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight, and you do not have because you do not ask God. Now, first of all, the asking God is so important because we don't have that engagement and we don't recognize he is our provider. He's the source of every resource we have. And he can say yes or no. And I don't care how hard you work. I don't care what your degree is. I don't care how much money your job has. I don't care even if your bank account's full. If he says no, you can't get it. Right? You may say, I know, but people don't live that way. We don't live with the understanding of, oh, I know. No, we don't always live that way. We still depend on other things until we get our feelings hurt. He says, you want something, but you don't get it. You know what I mean? You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. We fight for things and allow this to be the thing that drives us. Now, don't get this wrong with the feeling of wanting it. You're going to want things. There's a whole thing about feelings. Understand feelings, or is your flesh saying, I want? That's something you have. Nothing wrong with that. Everything wrong when my flesh now becomes my source or my purpose. Now it's wrong. And that's why he says, you do not receive because you do not ask God. See, when we ask God, we receive the right thing at the right time. Because when I ask God, I want his will. You understand? It doesn't just mean I didn't get it because I didn't ask God, period. This whole concept of asking God, because remember, asking God comes with a whole lot of other parameters with it. Right? And then he goes to verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. What are those motives? That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And I'm sure in the background, some of you are going, and? In fact, I bet the most of us are going, and? Right? Because you're like, but that's why I asked you, so I can have it. I want it so I can. It's like, you know, a child asks for potato chips, not so he can go share with the poor. He wants to eat them. He's like, yeah, I want to have some for him because I want them. What God is saying here is, that's your purpose. You understand that? When I ask for something and I would like to do something with it and it becomes my purpose, it trumps everything else. He says your motives are just for your purpose. People get married just for their purpose. And that's why it ends in disaster, because your purpose didn't happen. Not realizing what the Bible said. You do know there's two people. You do know there's going to be compromise. You do know you're not going to agree on everything. The Bible lets you know, and you're still not listening to it because you're like, at the moment, I'm happy and I expect this person to make me happy. Your motives are wrong. Going into it wrong. We do a lot. We take jobs because of our motives. Entertainment because of our motives is based on my pleasures. Now, my pleasure can play a part, but my pleasure can never be the purpose. Understand that. You can play a part. It can never be the purpose. Christ has to be the purpose. And that purpose then will give you wisdom, give you understanding on these things. Greed is a major characteristic of false teachers. It shows in Matthew 23, 25 to 26, is woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now remember, we did a whole lesson on hypocrites. Now hopefully everybody remembered it. Hypocrites are going to hell. And we got a ton of them in the church. And what is a hypocrite? Is a hypocrite will use things to fit their own little agenda and act like they're holy in it. But when you get that same thing on another thing that doesn't fit their agenda, all of a sudden they make a change. God hates that. God hates that. I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth. I can't, you know, be for this thing over here and be against this thing when they're the same thing. You understand that? God hates that. So he says, you hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of what? Greed and self-indulgence. The thing that killed these religious leaders is them. They wanted your praise. They wanted your money. They wanted you to see them in a better light. One of the biggest reasons why they went after Jesus is because they were envious of him. You know, I mean? We were the ones you came to see. And here comes this guy. Now everybody's following him. We got to find some way of killing him. Why? You know what I mean? And if they really knew scripture, and they knew scripture better than the rest of them, but you see how distorted scripture. He said, you guys search scripture for eternal life and it speaks of me. Y'all miss it. And this is what's happening to Christians today. We read the Bible day and night over and over again. But if you have selfish ambition or if you have greed, it's like you're reading something and you can't see it. You're reading that same word over and over again. You can't understand it. Greed and self-indulgence. This is in the church today. Greed. I want more self-indulgence. I get it. I could distort a lot of my sermons to make more money, to have more people, to get more things. And we do that in our lives to get more. And that's why he says in verse 26, blind Pharisees first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will also be clean. So the key showing you is I got to make sure my purpose is not greed and self-indulgence. And then how I act will be sincere. It'll be the way that I'm supposed to act. It'll be a true ministry. But I can't have a true ministry when greed and self-indulgence, and not just it, full of greed and self-indulgence, are something that really hangs on to my life or really describes me. Another characteristic of false teachers is self-confidence. Self-teachers, see, one of the biggest attractions, and pay close attention, is when you get those bold teachers. You ever get those teachers that get up there and they just really know, and they have this surety, almost to where you must follow me. I mean, they're just brilliant, and they're, look what he says, 2 Peter 2:10-12. He says, bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. So once again, they love to talk bad of Satan and demons and stuff like that out of ignorance. Do you understand that? Now, please, just using this as an example, we catch lions and stuff and put them in cages and do all that stuff. That means we really rule over them. But just because that ruling and we have that upper hand over every animal down here, what we tend to do is sometimes things I rule over them. It's like me going in the jungle saying, let me find a lion. I wish you would say something to me or something stupid like that. And that's how we live. And that's what he's saying people are doing spiritually. You watch people talk spiritually in something they don't understand. They make up stuff spiritually, not realizing they're putting themselves in danger. He even said, somebody who is spiritual, he says, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. You may say, what is wrong with me saying something slanderous against Satan? He's just saying it's dangerous because you're speaking on something you don't understand. He says, but these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. He said, like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. Remember, brute beasts, the reason why we can get the lions is going to go for the kill. Every time, he's not going, let me think about this. Now, he may think about it in this instinct way with the wildebeest and waiting for stuff and have that patience and stuff like that, but it's not him truly, you know, getting in the sand and writing stuff down and creating another way and so on and so forth. You'd see them by now having different ways of catching these animals, but it's the same way. And that's what we become, like brute beasts. We react out of instinct. Why? Because we're bold in self. We trust in self. And a lot of these teachers do this. They get up here and they know these knuckleheads are going to follow me because I'm the man. Here's the problem. They'll be dead wrong and people will still follow. How many prophets have we seen get stuff wrong? And the Bible very clearly says, don't follow them anymore. And you get people going, oh, but I really like them. Next thing you know, they're still following them. Very common. We'll end on this last one. What we see in the world, what we see in the world can be a big cause to us becoming self-centered. Okay? The world puts that out there. Look what he says in Psalm 73, 1 to 12. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Now watch this. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. Why? He says, I had nearly lost my foothold. Now watch what happens. For I envied the arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from burdens common to man and are not plagued by human ills. Let me stop there for a minute. What he's saying is I'm watching these people who are not Christian or not believers, who are not pure in God, and their lives are going just fine. In fact, some of them are doing great. How do you define great? This is what distorts us to become self-centered. Because we're watching these people and they are the most successful people and they're still doing selfish things. He says, therefore, pride is their necklace. In other words, they're like, have you ever heard somebody say, well, I did this and it worked? And I know it makes sense. You may say, well, that's why I do it. You go in the Bible, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So why then do we still keep doing stuff for outcome instead of from what he said? That answers that. But you still get people going, I did it and it worked. What worked? It didn't work if you didn't do what he said. And he's saying these people wear pride as I did all this. And look what I did. Not realizing Satan more than happy to allow you to keep going away from God. He says, watch this. They clothe themselves with violence. Oh, don't hurt people to keep what they have to make sure they know that they're strong. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. So they're sinning and just doing wicked stuff. They do some stuff out there. And once again, they'll justify it. And you have people that follow them, they'll justify it. It says the evil conceits of their minds knows no limits. They'll lie and add lies upon lies and think none of it. They'll lie on people. They scoff and speak with malice. They just, you know, they're always fussing and they say stuff that's wrong. And they're in their arrogance, they threatened oppression. Oh, you remember that. You watch what I'm going to do to you. They always have to have paybacks. He says, their mouths lay claim to heaven and their tongues take possession of the earth. Now, do you notice what they said? Their mouths lay claim to heaven. They'll call themselves Christians. It says, but their tongues take possession of the earth. The stuff they do is what they run things down here. It says, therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. Who? Their people. You'll have people that will start following them in their ways. They say, how can God know? Does the Almighty have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree, they increase in wealth. He gave us this warning. But if you don't get it and you're walking by sight, you're like, they're rich, they're successful. I could be rich, I could be successful and be a Christian. Prosperity ministry has really distorted people and you got a lot of people chasing after that stuff. This is something I encourage you to read, break it down again, look at it, look at this in the whole entire package, and God willing, we'll get it next week and we'll finish up. But the selfishness, we got to make sure we're cleansing us from it. Please be careful not to run ahead thinking you're not till you truly checked yourself using the right measuring to realize if you are. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, dear Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And we just ask you to help us to humble ourselves, to really truly see ourselves and to cleanse ourselves using your spirit, dear Lord, for us to be sanctified in you, dear Lord, for us not to be the person that's defining what we are, but to truly take what your word is telling us and to really adjust that we may be truly used by you to be pure in what your word tells us to be. Any of us, those who are struggling, those who are having a hard time, but help us not to allow ourselves to make us in an eternity of hell. We want to keep walking in your ways, keep honoring you. Help us look out for one another. There are people that are hurting, people in need. What are we doing? Help us to make sure that we're doing it in the right way, to take care of people in the right way, following you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen. Love you all.
Love you too. Night, everybody.
Love you. Night. Night.